So as we get into the message this morning, let's just bow our heads for a quick word of prayer. Father, bless your word to our hearts. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and let the implanted word bear much fruit, that we, your church, your people, would be edified, that others may come to know you through our life, and that you, above all, would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a couple weeks ago, we talked about deception and things like that, and last week, we talked about our Father. And that was not an intention in any way to do a series on that message, that wonderful prayer that the Lord gave us. But all week, he just kept bringing back, the Holy Spirit kept bringing back to my heart the one phrase over and over and over and over, and that is, you can see it already on the screen, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, just over and over, just and reaffirming it in many ways. And I want to talk about thy kingdom come, his kingdom. It's part of that wonderful prayer that we see both in Matthew 6 and in Luke 11. You know, he says when you pray, you know, we want to honor God, we want to hallow his name, and we pray for daily bread, we pray for forgiveness of our sins and to forgive others, to keep us from temptation, but we pray in that prayer, thy kingdom come. In case you're wondering, it hasn't come yet, the kingdom. Some people say it has. Some who even love the Lord who look at Scripture a little differently and they make it say some things that it doesn't quite say. But a literal understanding and reading of God's word tells us that future kingdom here on earth is still to come. So why do we pray thy kingdom come? Is it only for the aspect of, Lord, hurry up, let's go, get it on, which I think that we should. I don't know about you, but I like to be of those who cry out, Maranatha, the Lord cometh, you know, Lord come, you know, quickly. But we also know he has his time. We also know that many people today that we love are not yet in the kingdom of God, and we want to see them come to faith in Christ before that time comes. But our hearts should yearn, thy kingdom come. Jesus preached while he was here about the coming kingdom. He even said that I think it's in Matthew 24, that the message of the kingdom, in other words, the good news, the gospel, will be preached into all the world, and then it'll come. So we know the message needs to go out, the message of the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6, when he talks about this, when he gives us the Lord's Prayer, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount, as we generally know in Matthew 5, all the way through Matthew 7 there. He tells us in part of that in chapter 6, verse 33, that we are to seek the kingdom of God. You know, more than anything else, seek the kingdom. Because then the other things, you know, they'll be added unto you. He also let us know in Matthew 24 that there will come upon this earth at one time a great tribulation that has not been since the beginning of the world. But he said that day will be so great and horrible that if God did not keep that days limited, there would be no flesh saved on the earth. Why? Because we pray for the kingdom. Part of us recognizes that we need his kingdom. Not only future, but presently. If you haven't figured it out yet, we can't solve our own problems. Did you ever figure that out yet? I don't even just mean our personal things. How well would you say the leadership around the world is doing right now? What do you give them, an A+, a D-, an E, an F? They're not doing very well, you know, by most metrics. We human beings can't solve. We never could, though. We do sometimes better than others, but the reason sometimes we do better than others is for the times that we are seeking God. But left to our own devices, we don't do what we're supposed to do. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. But we think it is. We try to be the solution, but really, what are we? We're the problem. Psychology, so-called, many times advises people that come to them with problems to look within yourself. Look within yourself to find the answers. But the truth is, Instead of looking within ourselves, we need to be looking up to our Father in heaven. Because we looking into ourselves usually generates more problems than it does answers or solutions. But our Father gives us wisdom on heaven. That's why Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. It's destruction. It's the way of death. We think it's right. We think it makes sense, but it doesn't. That's why we need to be careful about approaching God's word with just our feelings. Well, God said this, but I feel that maybe kind of this should be this way. No, that's what the heart of man says, which leads to death. God's word is right all the time. Paul told us in Romans chapter 8 that if we're carnally minded, meaning just using our natural human way of thinking, it's death. But spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, we're recognizing something. We're recognizing we need help. We're recognizing the answers don't lie within us. We're recognizing that we've made a mess of things from the very beginning and that we need the Lord's kingdom to come. Yes, futuristically, but in that prayer, there's also the emphasis on now. Not the kingdom that he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years, not the eternal kingdom, but the kingdom of God ruling and reigning in our lives, in our society to a varying degree. But the kingdom is going to come. Make no mistake about that. That's not some pie in the sky thing where some people, the Bible says, even as we get closer to Jesus' return, there's many who are going to say, they're going to scoff. Oh, where is the sign of his coming in the end? Where is it going to be? Things have always remained the same since the beginning. And Peter says, well, they're really ignorant about history, and they're ignorant about the word of God. The kingdom will come. But what about now? Well, before I get to that, I want to mention a couple other things, because we spoke about delusion a few weeks ago and deception a few weeks ago, and I have found, and this is not my discovery, but I have learned, and it's absolutely true, that the best way to keep yourselves or ourselves from deception or delusion is to be in the truth. If you're immersed in the truth, you're going to spot deception. Many of you know this, and I don't know if they still do it today, though I believe it's still the practice, that bank tellers are shown how to spot counterfeit bills, not by getting a list and feeling all the different counterfeit bills and looking at them. They know the true one. They study the true bill, the real bill, so completely, so that they know the smell, they know the feel, they know the look. And when they know the true intimately, they can spot the counterfeit far away. And that's what it should be with us. If we are intimately into the truth, we should spot the lie. Now, Jesus tells us in his word, Paul writes it in 2 Thessalonians, that before this time of God's kingdom actually coming to the earth, before we go into this time of great tribulation, as Jesus spoke about, that we heard about already, there's going to be a lie that God brings onto this earth. God will bring delusion. Okay, I'll call it that. God brings this, that they will believe the lie. It's not God's lie, because God doesn't lie, but God allows them to believe this delusion, because of those people that remain after the church is taken away, their hearts are so hardened that God has finally given them completely over and says, okay, this is the way you want to believe your way. You want to believe your version of things. You want to believe your outcomes. You want to believe your solutions and whatever those crazy solutions. Look, there's things now today. I know you and I, we all experience the same things. We read things today and we go, this can't be true. And you try to find truth in the pages of news things or whatever. It's very hard to find truth. But as we're getting more and more that way, where lies are more prevalent or falsehoods are more prevalent, there's going to become a point where there's going to be this strong delusion that God will allow on the earth, because people have chosen that way. They will believe the lie that comes down, whatever that lie will be at that time. And God's basically saying, go your own way. Make your own choices. You've rejected me. Now see where it gets you. And God doesn't do that for spite. God is doing that again because he has been a holy God who has allowed man to make his own choices with man's free will, and allowed man to be able to do these things that are not convenient, the Bible says. And we come to this place where now finally God says, okay, you want to completely go your way? Go your way. See, rejection of God in any shape or form, rejection of him, his word, his truth always will bring consequences, and those consequences are always negative. Always. Sin always brings death. Embracing the lie always brings death, not only to ourselves, but to others. And not only just physical death, it destroys relationships, it destroys health, it destroys finances, it destroys churches, it destroys everything. Sin will destroy. And rejection of God is where it always begins. From the very beginning, Adam, you know, is in the garden, and they had the word of God. They knew what they were responsible to do, but they chose to believe the lie. And when they embraced the lie, there were consequences. Not only did they begin to physically die, which they weren't supposed to die physically, they began to physically die, but they immediately died spiritually. And we've all been paying the price ever since. So, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Lord, we want your direction. We want your truth. We want your way of thinking. We want your way to be done. And if we look at that, we recognize that we say that is a humbling prayer to say, Father, we do not know best. You do. You know completely well. And first and foremost, as I pray, I want to know in my own heart your kingdom. See, it's a prayerful desire to see his kingdom established in the future, but presently right now, in the here and now. And the first way that you and I, who have been saved as children of God, the first way that we need to do that is we need to understand that when we pray, thy kingdom come, we are praying, Lord, have it be in my life. Will your kingdom be ruling and reigning in my heart? Will I be about my Father's business? Will I be about obedience to my Father? Will I be about the direction and the way my life should be, that I would be an authentic and effective Christian? An authentic and effective Christian. Not only will I be one who can say some phrases and words and scriptures that I memorize, but would my very life, with the way that I move and the way that I live and the way that I conduct myself in all aspects, including when I open my mouth, would that reflect your kingdom? And because you and I know that it's so easy to spot hypocrisy, the world will see when we just open our mouth, but our lives tell a different story. So, Father, thy kingdom come in my life, in my heart. Let me to live as your child. Let me to live the way you want me to live. Let me live in such a way that as I pray thy kingdom come, my heart is open, that it will be your kingdom in my life. And then on top of that, we know part of the kingdom of God is the desire that we know that God has the desire in his heart that people come to know him. So when we first are authentic Christians in our own life and we are living in such a way so that when we do open our mouths to speak and to share truth with them, they can see something different in us, then we can also be praying at the same time, dear Lord, open the hearts of my family. Open the hearts of my children, my grandchildren, my spouse, my friends, my coworkers, my neighbors, Lord, people that I just sometimes meet in my travels. Lord, open their hearts that they would yearn for your kingdom. That they would come to know your kingdom as they see it in me, as they see the difference in me. Some of you here may know, but in preaching and teaching God's word for many years now, I bring up quite often one of the most tragic figures in the Bible, and that is Lot. You know, Abraham's nephew, Lot. It's interesting that with all Lot's faults, we find that Lot is called in scriptures a just man. And we wonder, how could that be? Well, he was called a just man because he did know the truth. And he did have, in the Old Testament times, a relationship with God. And he knew that through his uncle Abraham. And he knew that, what it meant to follow God. But what Lot did is Lot abdicated all of that. Lot gave all those things up. Lot began to separate from his uncle Abraham and look with his own eyes and his own human eyes. His own human eyes let him look at Sodom and Gomorrah, and he sat there and stared at it, and he pitched his tents towards it, and he watched that horrible show that was going on there. And the next time we see Lot, he's not only looking at what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, he's actually living there. And not only is he living amongst the people, but he becomes a notable person in that community of sin and deprivation. He becomes a notable person, though he knew God. And was actually, you have to say, by Scripture, the authority of Scripture, that he was one of God's, because when Abraham prayed, is there any way that some could escape, God allows Lot and his family to escape the judgment that was coming on Sodom. But the tragedy, because many might say, well, yeah, but see, that's God's grace. Lot got out. Yeah, but here's the tragedy. Lot's life was so compromised by Lot doing his own thing, going his own way, not living the kingdom of God in his heart and being different amongst the people in Sodom, that when there was an opportunity to let people know that judgment was coming, nobody would believe him. Oh, man, you're just like us. What do you mean judgment? Ha, 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 ha. Who are you to tell us of judgment? You're just like us. They saw no difference in this man, though he lived amongst them and was a notable man in their society. His lifestyle was so compromised that the kingdom of God was not alive in his life, in his heart. Father, let your kingdom be in my heart so, Lord, wonderfully, that as I set you apart as Jesus in my life, as Lord of my life, Jesus, that my lifestyle will speak to people, that when I pray for them, when I share with them, when I live before them, they'll see something different. And that difference will be that they want to know you, who's this one that made this change in my life, that they might know your truth too. How do we do that? Well, you and I live on a different timetable and a different dispensation than Lot. We live in the New Testament times. And the New Testament times, when we're saved and born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And when the Holy Spirit's living within us, what you and I want to do is not to quench that Holy Spirit, not to grieve the Holy Spirit, but to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, to let the light of Christ shine from us so that we do not put bushels over that, or we don't lose our saltiness, that we live in a different way. We want to live in such a way that we ourselves are living within the glory of God, that like Isaiah, again, Old Testament vision of this, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, you know that very well, when you saw him high and lifted up, he said, oh, woe is me, because he knew he was a man of sin. But he also heard that wonderful shout, holy, holy, holy. He saw the holiness of God. And it wiped him out until God touched him with the coals from the altar of heaven, from his throne. And then he said, send me. Send me. I got to tell others about this glorious God that I've witnessed. This God who makes a change in my life and can make a change in their life. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. See, when we pray that prayer, it's God's desires that all would come to salvation, but he has left us here as the vehicle to bring the message. Amen? God can get the message out any way he wants. And you'll find from the very beginning of this word, from creation, God has always left representatives here to bring his truth to the world. In this age of grace, the church age, you know who it is? The church. And part of our prayer when we pray, thy kingdom come, is, Lord, start with me, but I pray for my brothers and sisters also, that we, the church, would truly be the church, that we would live as the church amongst ourselves and out in this world. Let us learn to do what you told us to do amongst one another and help each one another and to grow in love and to grow in grace, to have that unity amongst ourselves, that even in our differences we can find a way to grow together in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that love that is amongst us in our hearts, that unity that is here, the world will see that in us and they will want to know. We need to lay aside a lot of stuff to truly let the Holy Spirit work amongst us, so that when we do that here and then go out, the world says, they're different, not only just weird, there's something about them that I find attractive, though I don't understand it. And the Bible tells us, you know, we're supposed to be a weird people in that way. Peculiar, right? Now, some of us are just peculiar because we are, you know. But that's not the peculiarity that we're looking for. We want to be peculiar because we are like, see, a dead fish can swim with the current. Go right down with it, right over the cliff. But it takes a fish that's alive to swim against the current of this world to be different. And all the other fish are going this way, and we're going this way. And they say, where you go? Wait, what? Wait. There's something different about you. Lord, do that work in our lives, in the church. Because you and I forget something. See, you know the movie Star Wars? Nobody? Oh, I don't watch movies. Yes, you do. You watch the movie. Stop. We have the Force, the good side. And then we have, what's the other side called? The dark side. Yeah, I got the dark side. And in that fairy tale, which it is, it's made up fiction, it's a battle between the two, which who's going to win? Which side will prevail? Well, the part of that that's wrong is this, that in knowing what the truth is of God's word, there is God's in God's kingdom, and that kingdom is already prevailing and will always prevail. The dark side does not have a chance ultimately to win. But many Christians make the mistake and forget that there is, though, a kingdom of darkness. You say, are you making that up? No. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We have been delivered from the domain or the kingdom of darkness, and we were transferred or translated, the King James says, into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So you and I, before salvation, we were on the dark side. And that doesn't mean you were an evil person from the world standpoint. You may have been a great person worldly from the world standpoint, but you were enemy to God. You were in your sin. You were dead in your sin and trespasses, and you had no way of escape until God, in his grace and his mercy, revealed himself to you through the gospel, probably through some Christian or somebody somewhere along the way who prayed for you, who loved you enough to tell you the truth, and then you believed, and you were translated. You were transferred. You were brought into or brought away from that kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we forget sometimes that there's a kingdom of darkness. Thy kingdom come, Lord, because, Lord, on this earth, you have allowed the kingdom of darkness to exist. And many that we love are in that kingdom right now. And our desire is they become into your kingdom, the kingdom of truth, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of life. So when we are rescued from the kingdom of darkness through that wonderful work, we are moved into the kingdom of his dear Son, and our prayer should be, Lord, save those who are still in darkness and use me. I always love this wonderful allusion from Isaiah 3 where the people were walking in darkness have seen a great light because Jesus came into the world and he is the light of the world. And you and I are the ones that carry that light into the kingdom of darkness that persists in all these different parts of the world. That's you and I. Thy kingdom come, Lord, in me. Thy kingdom come in my brothers and sisters. Thy kingdom come so that I become a child of light and truly live in this a child of light. And thy kingdom come in such a way that when I go out into all the world, they would see this difference in me and many would come to know you too. So when you and I came to faith in Christ, our passport that had on it one way to hell, no stops, was changed. And a new stamp, a new seal came. And it said, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And our new destination is our home in heaven. And we want others to come and join us. Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Now, I alluded to this earlier. I'm just going to read it because I think it's important as we close this message today. Peter, 1 Peter 2:9. But you, church, we, church, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. King James says, a peculiar people, but God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. We've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. And we now are in the kingdom of light. Let the light shine amongst us. See, we can never and never were able to transfer us out ourselves out. We can't say, Lord, I want out of the kingdom of darkness, so I want to come to you, so I want to make a way to you. Because you know what? That's human wisdom. That's human effort. We can't do it. All we can do is say, Lord, and he does that work. Lord, I believe. Lord, I repent. I come to you. I turn to you. And then he does all that. He did the heavy lifting of the cross, right? We can't. No one could ever have done that but God himself, but Jesus himself. But he did it for you and for me. so that we don't have to do it. But we now carry that message. That's our burden. His burden was the cross. Our burden is to go into all the world declaring the gospel and making disciples. And nothing, church, should hinder us from that job. And why do we come together in here? Well, to be equipped. For what? The working of the ministry. So we together should be able to say, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Start with me. Lord, I pray for my sister, my brother. Start with me. Start with us. Because Jesus is the light that we need to carry into this dark world. So why do we pray, Thy kingdom come? That means we have a desire within us for His sovereign rule. First, right now, today, at this moment, in our lives and amongst ourselves, in every aspect of our existence, Lord, Thy kingdom come into my life. Thy kingdom come into my life. Lord, sit upon the throne of my heart in such a way that I acknowledge You as Lord, not just Savior, but Lord, and that, Father, in that we, Your people, would be light shining in the darkness. And then we pray, Thy kingdom come. Because we want to see, eventually, in His time, His kingdom established. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I'm not even talking about eternity, heaven yet. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Thousand-year reign, literal reign. But you know what the Bible says about that time? That when He comes, we will rule and reign with Him, but He's going to have to rule with a rod of iron. Because there will still be people here in their natural bodies who have not yet made a choice for Christ yet. And they're still going to be living the way a lot of people in this world lived, even with Jesus on the throne in Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? That shows the heart of man, doesn't it? Because after 1,000 years of Jesus' reign amongst the people, physically, literally, this is not Jesus in heaven reigning. This is Jesus again on the earth reigning. We're here with Him. We're in our glorified bodies. We're going to be serving Him. Opportunity anymore for us to sin. We're in our glorified bodies. Praise God for that. But there's people on this earth that are being born even during the millennium that come, and they're going to see Jesus. And yet at the end of that millennial reign, Satan is loose for a short time, and you know what it says? He gathers many together to revolt against Jesus. That's the heart of man, that we pray, Thy kingdom come, Lord. Get that out of us. And one day, when that rebellion at the end is put down, and all those are judged at the great white throne judgment, then one day, the totality of our prayer, Thy kingdom come, will be realized as He creates a new heaven and a new earth. And there is no more sorrow nor crying, no more sin. For the former things are all passed away, because He will say, Behold, I make all things new. Does your heart burn when you hear that? Is that your desire for that to take place? Yes, pray that way. But don't just say only that prayer for the future. Say, Lord, start here and now in me. That Thy purposes will be fulfilled in me, that others may come and live forever in Thy kingdom when it does come. Father, thank You. Ah, Lord, for Your word. It's true. And I want us to be immersed in it. I want us to know it so well. I want us to meditate in it day and night, as You told Joshua that in that he would find success, that we would be in the Word, Lord God, because, Lord, our desire would be in all things and all ways for Your kingdom to come and Your perfect will to be done in us and amongst us and in those in the world who would come to know You through our lives, living out Your kingdom. And we pray, Father, one day that we will see You face to face, that Thy kingdom will come upon this new earth that You will create. And Lord, there will not be any more resistance. But until that time, help us to live it now. In Jesus' name, amen.